Okie dokie. It is time for our next guest here on Attitude Adjustment, and this is going to be fun, Amy, because we have
what part of fun? I've been having fun all morning, darling.
Well, I mean, this is funner.
More fun.
It's gooder fun.
Yeah.
So Hal Bryan, senior editor of EAA Publications, and he's dressed in this really cool blue shirt.
It looks almost like yours.
Yeah, except that ours says cool radio stuff. You know,
but it just says radio, yeah, Rob, just to be clear. It doesn't say cool.
No, there is no cool on there. You are correct.
Lifelong second generation pilots.
That's right.
That means you've been flying a while. But for some folks that may go back a ways, you're also a software engineer, and you were a business development manager and community evangelist at Microsoft. And let's see, what was that thing you were working on when you were there?
It would be Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Right.
Yeah, I was at Microsoft for 15 years. I spent the last 11 of it on the Flight Simulator team. And at the time, for an airplane nerd and a computer nerd, there's no better place.
And I always wanted to.
Until I came here. I gotta be really clear about that.
Even better heaven.
Yes.
And I always wanted to know, though, one quick segue before we get into our cool stuff, our other cool stuff. Who decided that Microsoft Flight Simulator was going to open at Chicago Max? Who made that big decision?
That was a guy named Bruce Artwick, because the early incarnation of that software was his doctoral thesis project. So Bruce worked with a couple other engineers. He was at... I'm going to get the name of the university wrong. So, University of Illinois in Champaign. And so, you know, what better place to start? And this was, of course, you know, when initially Meigs was the only airport, then they a few other airports around Chicago, but that was the default starting point. And we kept it that way. Microsoft came on as a publisher in 1980. Then we actually bought the whole IP in, a few years later. And then published it from 1980 until 2009.
Boy, that was a lot of fun. Of course, there's a lot of good simulator. X-Plane is up here now, and
sure,
they're really doing some incredible things.
And the Microsoft product itself is still available. It's a company called Dovetail Games out of the UK. Licensed it from Microsoft. They sell it on the Steam platform. I'm sorry, I sound like I'm selling it again. I haven't done that in a while.
Okay.
But it is nice that it's out there. And I guess I should point out that... you do need that version on Steam, which is very inexpensive, $10-$15 usually, to run something that EA is rolling out called the Virtual Flight Academy. So realize it's a little bit of a left turn here, but...
Talk about that.
Tell us. I was going to find out about that anyway. You already started it.
Look
tell
at
us
me
about
go.
This.
Well, welcome to my show, Rob and Amy. Anyway, the Virtual Flight Academy is something we've done in partnership with a group called Take Flight Interactive, and that's actually run by some former colleagues of mine back at Microsoft on the Flight Sim team. And it's, in effect, it's a scenario-based training based on the private pilot test standards. So you get yourself this nice inexpensive copy of Microsoft Flight Simulator, which runs, you know, better now on today's computers than it did, you know, several years ago. It looks great. Install the free Virtual Flight Academy initial scenarios on it. That's a member benefit for EAA members, and that was redundant. Anyway, install it on there, and you start sort of basic private training. And then there's, if you want to pursue further lessons and advanced modules and things, there's a special member discount.
Will it run on a Mac or only on a PC?
It would run on a Mac, but you would need to be booting into Windows. So we.
So the answer is no.
That's okay.
I used to see people all the time dual booting into Windows just fine on Macs.
It works. Yeah. That's not the problem. But it's a virtual Windows computer.
Right. Yes, exactly.
That's all I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, you know, this is Friday as we're recording this.
Is that what day it is?
I honestly have no idea.
In fact, I know because my little date thing down here tells me that. But, boy, it's been a really busy week up here at Oshkosh, hasn't it? What's happening?
You know, this has been one of those amazing years that... you know, going into it, you worry a little bit because, you know, we talked about some of the things that were coming. Probably the XP-82 Twin Mustang was something that we were all really, really excited to see. And then, you know, then we found out with about a week to go, it just wasn't quite going to make it here. And you look at that and say, oh, gosh, is this sort of an omen for, you know, for a disappointing year? And it's absolutely not the case. It's amazing. There's so many people here, and the attitude and the vibe this year is just through the roof. We had a couple of rough weather periods, and everybody just takes it with a smile. People are here, and this is Oshkosh in full force.
I don't think I've seen the campgrounds as full ever. The tent camping out on the North 40, on the home built, yep, on the South 40 in Vintage. Oh my gosh!
I would agree. It's incredible, and again we had a little bit of weather, some rain, that slowed down arrivals rather dramatically on Saturday.
Rather dramatically,
yes, says Hal, understating it. But you know, people were patient when the weather opened up. They got in, and boy, everybody's just here, and it's interesting to me because you know, we're not pointing at that one single specific thing, and to me, a year like this is Oshkosh at its best. We're not saying everybody has to come here to see the one thing, whatever that one thing might be for any particular year. This year, people are here because it's Oshkosh, and they want to see everything, and you've got to be here.
And I think a lot of people are ready to pull the trigger and buy this year, too. I am seeing the exhibit halls with some healthy, healthy transactions going on. I have been talking to people in the campground, mm-hmm, and it's, oh, I actually put the down payment on my kit.
That's great to hear.
You know?
I've been talking to a lot of exhibitors. I'm getting that same message. It's, oh my gosh, we're having a great year, and I don't think I've seen a frown out there.
No, well, with the sunshine we have had, yes, and the actually very pleasant weather.
It's nice and cool. It's,
yeah.
But
yeah,
you know, it's fun to talk to people who have never been to AirVenture before.
Yes,
and
indeed.
We have a, you know, because Flying's editorial people are here, but also our sales people are here. And we have a new fellow that just joined the sales team, and I had never met him before, and he came from water sports or something like that, and he's in Flying now. And he said to me this morning that he said, I've never attended anything like this in my life. He said, people are so nice. They just they just talk to you, and they ask you what you've been doing and how do you come to be involved in aviation, and did I see this and have I been there? And they say, oh, you've got to go do this. And he said, never in my life have I ever been to any kind of a convention or anything like that where people are just nice.
Well, and that's such a common, you know, a common experience. And you hear phrases bandied about, this is aviation's family reunion, and it's easy for something like that to sort of get watered down and feel like a cliche, but it really is. And I think what people miss when you say it's a family reunion is that it's still a reunion even when you show up for the first time, and you're automatically in the family just by walking through the gates, and the people that you meet and start up a conversation with, it's astounding.
It is, and we're talking to Hal Bryan from EA Publications, and it's our final day of doing Attitude Adjustment Live, and this has been a really great wrap up of what we've all been feeling, I think, this year. It seems like there is, as we've said, more energy almost this year, and I don't think it's just the sunshine, but maybe that helps.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think, like I said, I think this is just, we're doing Oshkosh. You know, we're at our convention for the sake of being here. And you feel it everywhere.
So, stories. You must have mined a lot. I'm an avid reader. But seriously, what did you see that really stood out for you?
Boy, you know, there's a whole number of stories that you have planned. What's funny, I think what people don't really realize is that, you know, months earlier, we know, well, this is probably coming, we're going to do this story and this story and this story. And then, of course, the week shows up, and this airplane's weathered out, and, you know, this person came in late, and then they had to leave early, and they're at that end of the field, and I'm at the other end of the field and stuff. It's a lot more difficult. Just because they happen to show up here, it doesn't automatically mean that everything's going to line up just right, and we're going to get to do what we want to do. But that's part of the fun of it, because a part of my job is getting out there and scouting the stories and finding things. Like, we came across a float plane, and my boss Jim saw it, and then he sent me to go take a look at it. And anyway, we neither one of us knew what the heck it was. And it's a Piper PA-12, on amphib floats. That should be pretty normal. But it's got a Warner Scarab radial engine on it.
Wow.
And this is the coolest looking thing I've ever seen. Looks like a baby Air Master or something like this. And I love the times when I see an airplane I can't identify, because I'm a hardcore airplane nerd. That's one of my hats at work, is to be the airplane nerd. And if I see something I haven't seen before, that's when I really get excited.
Boy, I think it's really great that I'm always amazed at everything I see up here, but of course I'm not quite that nerdy, but you know, I'm learning. I'm still learning. So Hal Bryan, where can people find out more about what you're doing with EA Pubs and EA in general?
Well, of course you can always go to EA.org and click your way through to the publications section of it. If you're an EA member, you're reading Sport Aviation Magazine, so you'll see all of our content there. I do want to point out that we've been having some really strong success over the last 18 months, maybe a couple years, with a blog, a place to park other stories, inspire.eaa.org, the things that may not quite fit in the magazine. Okay. So a lot of great stuff out there.
Well, Hal Bryan, thank you so much for joining us on EA Radio's Attitude Adjustment.